Germany on the burst, cutback is good! And they're 1-0 up. Lars Stindl scores his first international goal. It opens up nicely for Tommy Rogic. Can score a good goal. Rogic at the second attempt. It's in for Australia. It is full time, blown by the US referee, and relief for that man. As Germany once again beat Australia in tournament play, a highly entertaining opening match.
Yes, hi everyone, and welcome to a Fox Football podcast, another special Socceroos edition. As David Wiener with you here with Daniel Garb to run the rule over the Socceroos Confederations Cup opener against Germany, a 3-2 defeat. We're going to have a 15-20 minute chat around to talk about all the talking points that happened while you were sleeping or while you were either up drinking a couple of cups of coffee in the middle of the night and now struggling your way through your Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you're listening to us across the country. Garby, how are you? How are you feeling? And what did you make of the game?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It was the same old story in a sense that we've had for the past four or five games, really, or the last four competitive games. The first half's just poor, and the second half an improved performance. And it must be terribly frustrating for Ange Postecoglou now, because you know so much has been made of the new formation. And in the second half of games, he can see it coming to fruition, and he did again against Germany. But in that first half, they're just costing themselves with some, firstly, sloppy passing, and the passing was off terribly in the first half. But defensive mistakes. And it starts with another early goal. And, you know, you can talk about the formation all you like, but you've got to start now, I think, after five games in this formation, starting to put the onus on individual players to react a little bit better. And we go 1-0 down, and we get opened up on the left-hand side, down the flank, and that's a byproduct of the new system. When you play with wingbacks, you're always vulnerable in that area, and the team would know that. But then you've got to react. And you watch the move by the striker who attacks the front post and three centre-backs go with him. No one pulls off into the dangerous open space and neither of the two defensive midfielders, Masluongo and Mark Milligan, drop back either. And those are little things where you have to start, okay, come on, you're professional footballers. You should be able to react a little bit better in that instance. And they didn't. And from there, we're playing catch-up. And thankfully, Tom Rogic, who was absolutely superb, what a performance he put in, managed to carry the team at times on his own shoulders and get Australia back into the game. Second half a lot better. And that gives some encouragement that we can hopefully knock off Cameroon and put ourselves in a position to get through the group.
In a sense, for that opening goal, look, we joked about, we lasted 12 seconds, which we conceded against Brazil. I almost find the mistake in the Germany goal a little bit more frustrating than because people misplace passes. It's annoying.
Exactly.
But if you actually stop the tape and freeze frame it when that the shot is put away, you don't just have the three centre-backs who've all retreated towards the line. You've actually got both. You've got five gold shirts in the box plus two defensive midfielders who none of them could pick up that cut back to the penalty spot. And that's the kind of decision-making that seems to be hurting Australia in those key moments. And it's got to be extremely frustrating on that big stage because you can't afford those starts. We spoke about it and it's been written about. They couldn't afford to start like that on this stage. From there, the thing is with the back three is that was a bit symptomatic of first half where with this incredibly fluid German movement and for a second-string side, their midfielders were just the way they advanced beyond the midfield and posed questions was just spectacular to watch. But the defensive combinations looked like they were struggling to decide when to go, when to stay, when they're meant to be stretched out wide, when they're meant to... And that was often more difficult when you had, at the starting point, one striker on them and then these incredible runs from midfield, players bombing on beyond the lines from starting in between the lines. And a lot of these problems came because in the few moments where Germany did lose the ball, Australia were appalling in possession.
No, we were.
Now, we talk about decision-making with the ball. We always knew this was going to be a different challenge because we were going to have to cede possession to a certain extent because Germany wouldn't let us have it. There were times Germany did lose the ball. And Mas Luongo was probably the most culpable. Mark Milligan found things going tough in the first half as well. We ended the half 62% possession to Germany. We were expecting them to have a lot of ball, but the manner in which we turned it over made life so difficult. And I'm not sure what you're meant to do in that situation as a coach when your side is playing at that intensity.
They passed the ball very poorly in that first half. And look, that's the worst game I've seen Masluongo play in a Socceroos shirt. He was really off. And, you know, those two holding midfielders are so crucial to the passing game. They do set the tempo. They've got to shift it side to side and get the short passes going to get the confidence up in the team when things have started poorly like they did. And Mark Milligan as well, I don't think, had a great first half. He was a little bit better in the second, but I thought he was off defensively as well in the first 45. But Luongo was brought in to give a little bit more insurance. So Irvine went out from the expected team. Luongo came in and we thought, all right, Luongo, Moy, Milligan, maybe they'll be able to tick the ball over a little bit more and keep it a bit longer than they would have thought of with Irvine in the side. He's not as much of a technical player, more of an impact player when he gets into the right positions. And that never really happened in the first half. And Luongo was effectively dragged, really. Yeah. There was that, and then there was also the penalty that he gave away, which is a terrible decision and a really poor challenge when Australia had worked so hard after having their butts kicked for the first 40 minutes to draw
level.
It's
a coach killer. It's a fan killer. So
what he does now with Luongo will be interesting for the second game. I suspect he'll be dropped. And then I think Irvine might come in. Moy, for me, has to play next to Milligan to give them that composure in the central midfield when the team is passing the ball so poorly. So he plays next to Milligan. Irvine, I get the feeling, will come in against Cameroon because of the physical presence he might be able to provide in that sort of game. And also, you'd be loath to start Robbie Cruz, who's had an impact in the last two games against Brazil as well when he's come on, with Tom Rogic in those positions, because both of them you'd be unsure about getting through a full 90 minutes. So you'd rather have, I think, Cruz coming off the bench, and Rogic, of course, has to start considering the way that he played. And Ange brought him off after 70 because he knows he's got conditioning issues and he's got to get through the whole tournament. He's so important to Australia. So I can see Luongo dropping off on the back of that first 45, which it really let Australia down. The passing, yeah, that will really frustrate Ange as well, because we know he prides himself on that passing game and it was so off the boil. Yeah.
To concede that goal, I think the incident would have been no more than 90 seconds after the goal was scored. It's in a football context, it's heartbreaking because you do all that work to get back into the game. It was a goal against the run of play. You've got the World Cup world champions at 1-1. You've got yourself back into it, and you know, it really was a coach killer. You mentioned Robbie Cruz. I thought the change for Luongo at halftime, I think that did change the game. Mm. I think it was a fantastic audition for Robbie. Pardon me. In a shop window sense, and he came on and he looked not just comfortable, I think he was really dynamic, and he stretched the defence. He was making intelligent runs. There was a particular moment where he was interchanging with Juric and Lecky in sort of a right hand side of the field, and Australia looked really fluid and was really exciting. I think against a Cameroon side which, according to what reports, and I think our colleague Kate, who's enjoying a well-earned sleep at the moment after the night shift, is going to write about this going into the next game. Cameroon do tire at the back end of games and have vulnerabilities sort of a bookending the halves. And Cruz can be a massive asset in that sense. But I thought it was a terrific performance. And looking at him play like that, I do struggle to see why he has been struggling for a decent club choice in recent years.
Well, because he's had injuries and that hurt him at Leverkusen, but hopefully off the back of this, where he's uncontracted, he can get the move that he wants, hopefully back into the Bundesliga, and off the back of the performance against Germany, that should help matters. Germany were very good too. You know, people want to bring down the German side, call them a third tier team. They're not. They're a one and a half tier team. You know, you take out the caliber of stars like an Özil and a Müller and a couple others. It's still top level. And more than that, you've got youngsters like, firstly, Kimmich has come through post-World Cup, but then you've got Draxler and Brandt and Timo Werner, who came on in the second half. How dynamic was he?
Striker, Wagner. Brilliant. The midfielders were just, they were breathless. They were moving at will.
And you got the young players, right? So you delve into their mentality and their philosophy on it. I'm not a guarantee to be in the German side for the next World Cup. This is my chance to prove to Jogi Löw that I can be a part of it. You're arguably going to be more motivated than an Özil who's done it all before and is playing in a Confederations Cup after a long season and knows that it's not the biggest tournament and his spot in the team is probably assured.
Yep.
It's arguably more dangerous coming up against these sorts of players. So it was a difficult challenge for Australia. Any talk that they're a third-tier team, for me, is off the mark.
Absolutely not. And I think you look at two of the players that, and this was an interesting problem for the Socceroos to solve, and I think that they did better at the second half and actually show that they found a solution to a problem. Hector and Brown on both flanks. I mean, Aziz Bajic and Matt Leckie won't want to hear those names for the way they bombed on, stretched Australia, played 1-2s with their midfielders, and then extended beyond and stretched Australia's defence. These were the challenges we were up against. Lowe looked at the way Australia had set up, and he came up with a plan that really stretched this side.
He did, and speaking of Yogi Lowe, I mean, I think his comments after the game does give Australia a boost and a lot of confidence in terms of the way that we're evolving under Andrew. People want to pick things apart in terms of the formation and that's fair enough. But how's this from Yogi Lowe on Australia? What I have seen is there has been a development, a positive development. This team in 2010, and for a number of years, that's the World Cup in 2010 when they beat us 4-0, should have been 8-0, was playing with long and high balls. That was easy to defend against. In the last 3 or 4 years, they have changed. They do more combinations. They're not playing the long ball. It's a team that is courageous and sometimes cheeky enough to challenge the opponents and attack very boldly. There are not many teams doing that. They are very bold. I think they have developed very well in the last 3 or 4 years. And that's what Ange is trying to do. He might not have the cattle to pull it off, but the mentality is surely something to be applauded. And hopefully when players do come through with enough quality, and you see a Tom Rogic coming through, they can excel because they're in a system that suits their game style better and that can advance Australian football. And that's the biggest endorsement you can have when you listen to those words from Yogi Lowe.
Watching the first half where we struggled to keep the ball, the one thing that resonated me with every time I saw Tom Rogic get it was, here is a group of players who are auditioning to get into the first 11 of the defending world champions, and Rogic looked like he belonged on that field. When he got the ball, we held possession. It was no coincidence that he got into space to have that shot. And sure, it was opportunistic. The goalkeeping was horrendous for Germany. But it was the first time in that half that, and credit to Luongo, he was involved. It was Luongo picking up the ball up quickly. First time pass to Milligan. First time pass looking up to Roger in space. Fantastic stuff. Yeah, and he looked like he belonged on that pitch.
The Rogic turn is starting to become something we can be fond of in Australian football. He lets the ball just drift half a metre past him, and then he's off, and the defenders, he did it 3 or 4 times to the Germans. The defenders can't pick it. He does it in Scotland a lot. Yeah, that was his best game for me for the Socceroos, because, you know, high quality opponent, we're up against it. That's what you want from your star players too. When the team's not going well, actually carry a few players with you. Say, I'll take charge of it. Give me the ball. And the players start looking for him. Right, we're struggling here. We've got to get it to Tommy, because he's the one player who's making a difference and getting us out of trouble. And he did that with obviously the first goal, and then the second goal for Australia comes from him as well. He shoots because he's so confident at the moment. He's willing to have a ping. The keeper makes a bad mistake, and thankfully Tommy Juric is able to pounce. But he showed a lot of maturity, Tommy, I think, to lift the team and take charge of a game for Australia when the rest were really struggling badly for a majority of it.
A few other positives and good performances. Matt Ryan obviously made a couple of good first half saves. I thought Trent Sainsbury was very good. I thought he was another one in the shop window.
I thought he played well too. I thought Bailey was pretty good as well. I think Milos Deganek's a bit of a concern for them right now. I think defensively he was poor. He really did. I mean, there was that header in the first half where he lost his footing, and it should have been capitalised on. And then if that had been scored, it would have been, you know, Deganek's blunder. And a couple of other times in the second half as well, Werner turned him terribly. And he got beaten
He's not comfortable on the ball either.
Against a player of that quality, he got beaten so easily, and Sainsbury and Wright had to cover for him, which is part of it. But you've got to be better one-on-one. In this three-man defence, I was speaking to Ante Kovic about it in the Fox studios the other day, you need three high-quality defenders, because there are going to be times when they're going to be caught one-on-one. And you need to back them in a defensive point of view, because they might not have the cover. Sainsbury gives you that. I think Wright one-on-one is pretty good when he's up and going and confident. Deganek's a concern right now. So I think Ange is probably mulling over that one as you bring someone else in. But then you're talking about a Ryan McGowan who had a poor showing against Brazil, and Dylan McGowan who hasn't really been exposed in this sort of football. So it's a tough one.
So it segues nicely into what next or what now. And look, I think Ryan McGowan has to be a shout. The caveat to the Brazil performance was the jet lag and the late arrival, throwing in at the last minute, and he wasn't expecting it. But I thought one of the interesting contrasts to the last game was, we spoke last week about how Aaron Moore had struggled in the deeper number six role. He was started off in the first half a little bit further forward. his move back into the middle to be that metronome and playmaker and get all the touch and the tempo, that did improve Australia's performance as well.
I prefer him in that position.
I think he has to be there in the next game against against Cameroon, and I think he started to grow into the game. And it's no coincidence that Mark Milligan's best period probably came in the second half with him alongside him. And Australia's best period... Okay, Germany had gone two goals up. That is true. But the side showed the wherewithal not to crumble and not to cop a couple more at the end as a consolation or a punishment. And for that 20-minute period, I started to think, hang on, the Socceroos are going to finish here with the right momentum.
I thought the wing-backs did pretty well. I thought both Matthew Lecky and Aziz Bage worked really hard. There were times they were outclassed, especially defensively, but that's going to happen against the German side. They both stuck at it and defensively made a couple of handy contributions. Bage going forward, that's where Brad Smith's a lot better, obviously, but he provided. And I thought Lecky going forward was a lot better. He was cleaner in his touch than he has been in previous games, and that helped. Tommy Juric didn't get into the game, but then he got his goal, and I think his confidence grew from that. I thought James Treasy, when he came on, was pretty
sharp.
Good too.
He looked confident.
Yeah.
Juric worked hard off the ball, and there was a lot of work to be done. I thought Australia's press was actually surprisingly lacked intensity in the first half, but I know there was a balance between when to go and when to go, right, they're going to cut through us if we don't sit back. And credit to Bajic and Lecky, who got through. I'd love to see the kilometres they clocked up. Bajic could have had a free kick, should have had a free kick all the way on the edge of the attacking box.
Yeah,
he was still getting forward, and we know that Lecky was getting forward too. When you consider that there was a time, I think, in the first half where he was clearing a ball just by his own byline. So that was really outstanding.
Saying that, though, Germany could have had four or five themselves, but they went pretty close.
Oh, there's no question.
With a couple of efforts in the post.
The conversation would have been very different. The first half, Germany should have been up. Could have been up by three or four.
No, they could have.
And they could have done what Brazil did and changed the conversation we're having by going a couple more up at the end of the game as well.
Yeah.
So just in conclusion, where to from here? I agree that Irvine has to be a shout because you're going to probably look at Moy dropping back and you know whether or not Ange rolls the dice and starts Cruz and Rogic, who I think are probably both first 11 players when at their capacity, but there's other things to take into consideration. Mm. I think they're the only changes. I think otherwise, as you were, unless, would you be tempted to bring Alex Gers back in on the left?
No, I wouldn't. I'd stick with Aziz, and I think Aziz is looking pretty fit, and he seems comfortable in that position. I think a change for Degenek, I'm not sure who comes in. Maybe he sticks with him and hopes that he just improves a little bit more, and maybe against Cameroon he'll be a bit stronger. He's not up against the exact same quality of attacker, because it's a risk bringing one of the McGowans in. I think Ryan's hasn't really proved himself at Socceroos level just yet. Confidence might be a bit low. He's been up and down in the national team, even though he's been around the side for a fair while, and Dylan hasn't been exposed to that, so it's a big ask. I agree, Irvine in for Luongo, and Moy drops deeper, and you probably keep the rest the same. Just on the formation, because I'm sure people will be critical of it after this morning as well. Where it is advantageous again for Australia is going forward. We went four and a bit games without a goal from open play.
Yep.
Right? Saudi to Saudi.
Yep.
In our last three games, we've scored five from open play. And that's where the new formation is starting to come to fruition and where it's helping Australia, getting Rogic into more dangerous positions, giving the striker a bit more support, and it's having an impact. So if they can just eradicate those little defensive mistakes that they're starting to make, I think we can be a much better team and pass the ball much better in the first 45, where we just seem to be so sloppy. But against Cameroon, I'm confident they can get something from it, hopefully a win, and then they might be able to have hopes of getting through the group with a point perhaps against Chile, depending what happens in the Germany versus Chile game. But it's not going to be easy, of course.
It's not consistency within the 90 minutes. I'm really confused by the Socceroos' slow start. Yeah. I would love... The mentality is there. The ethos is there. The style is there. The execution in terms of coming out and actually looking comfortable on the pitch. Hopefully that got rid of some nerves. Mm. Let's hope that first game got rid of some nerves.
Yeah.
Before we go, just one thing, when you're talking through the formation, is there a thought that Milligan could drop back into the back three?
But then who do you play in the holding role?
That's it.
There's no one in the
Luongo
squad.
Luongo probably played Milligan that option away in this performance because you probably can't go Luongo.
But even then,
again,
he's not a true screener. So, mate, you know, you bring in a Jimmy Jago then.
I don't think so.
I can't see him doing it just because of that reason. Trent Sainsbury did say to me in an interview before they left, we might go to a back four at times in the Confederations Cup against some sides. So That's been discussed clearly in camp. Okay. If he brought that up, so maybe they will make that shift when needed. So we'll wait and see what happens in that regard. That's not beyond the realms. But going forward, the formation's working. Defensively, they've got some issues. But as I said at the start, I think you need to start putting the onus on a couple of players as professionals who are in a system that is so technically advanced, the Socceroos' professional setup, really. I mean, they get all the material handed to them. You need to start now putting the pressure on highly paid professional footballers to adjust a little bit better in certain instances. In that first 45, they didn't, both with the ball and without it.
And they were fortunate to be in the game, and given that they were, they made a good fist of it in the second half. So we go in with renewed hope of a good performance, a result against Cameroon to keep the Confederations Cup campaign ticking over. Garby, thanks for the chat.
Thanks, Davey.
We'll continue it off now, off the record, and we'll continue on. Thanks for your time. Hope you enjoyed it. And all the highlights on foxsports.com.au will be with you all the way through the Confederations Cup. Until next time, enjoy your football.